B-Pod Studios.
Have a Google smart speaker in your home or office? Just say, hey, Google, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's amazing.
And listen to Boston's Home for Sports.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Wanted for God, so I got the gods back somewhere around my belly button. I wish I never got it.
All right, 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Young Sickly Nicholas talking to a gentleman outside of Fenway Park after the Bruins Lightning game.
I love that. My favorite movie is The Town because it's a true story. And I went to jail with all those guys. Someone tweets and said, true story, guys. Me and Lando took out the Death Star together.
Yeah.
I went to jail with all those guys.
Yeah. I went to jail with the guy. You know, we planted this beanstalk and went up and this guy got super pissed.
True story.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right.
All right, let's get back. So his favorite movie, favorite actor is
Matt Damon
because he's a war fan. And his favorite movie of all time is The Town because, as he says right here, well, let's roll it back just a second.
Let me hear it.
Because it's a true story, and I was in prison with half the people that were in that movie.
That was my next question.
Yes, it was.
Have you ever? So you were in prison?
Yes, with half these guys that were in that movie that I know, I won't name names, solid dudes.
All right. When you were in prison, did you get any tattoos?
Yes, a load.
Okay, so most of these tattoos that you have are from prison.
I want to tell you that, but I'm going to tell you that now. Half these tattoos are from prison, dude.
All right, give me a list of all the tattoos.
All right, Fenway Park. We got Brady. So I love Tom Brady. What else do I got? I got a shamrock over here.
There's a late ding. You got that one.
Yeah. There you go.
Beforehand. By the way, imagine having your whole stomach be Fenway Park, but it be a prison tattoo. Ooh.
Or just imagine getting a prison tattoo of some dude's name. Seems weird.
It's Brady. You know, it's part of the Brady crew.
Like if the CEO, you know, because you're not allowed to have tattoo guns. If the CEO sees it, he goes, what are you getting? Brady. All right.
Oh, cool. Well, we'll look the other way.
We'll look the other way.
I got a shamrock over here.
You got two shamrocks.
Yeah, three.
You got three shamrocks.
Three, and I got a heart on my back.
And he's not even Irish.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
So you get one shamrock and you're feeling pretty good.
Yeah. Two.
I'll find another couple.
It's a light snack.
It's good for the trifecta.
I got three shamrocks.
But that's what it means, triple the luck.
Mm-hmm.
You're not even Irish?
No. I'm Irish, Greek, and huge.
Have you ever met a famous person?
Okay. Has he ever met a famous person? Has he ever met a famous person? And who would it be?
All right. It's a Wahlberg. It was a Duncan or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a Wahlberg.
Right. Has he ever met a famous person? It's going to be yes, but it's going to be a relative of someone famous in jail. That is what I'm saying.
Have you ever met a famous person?
And Mickey Wood.
Mickey Wood. Who's in the fighter?
My hometown, Long, baby.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I can do a split.
You can do a split? What type of cigarettes do you smoke?
All right.
A lot of process right there. There's a lot going on.
All right, he's got three shamrocks. He met Mickey Ward from Lowell.
Specialist right next to him. Then all of a sudden, I know what I can do is split. All right, cool, man. And then Nick just keeps moving on. Like, what kind of cigarettes you smoke? Someone says he can do a split. I'm like, we need to discuss this.
All right, here we go.
What type of cigarettes do you smoke?
American Spirit. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, I occasionally smoke weed. I did ecstasy 10 years ago. I never smoked crack. I did a few lines.
Yeah, we all have.
What else did I do? Mushrooms. My cousin Joel almost killed me.
Yeah. He just did a split.
It was a half of one.
He really wanted to get it out there that he can do the splits.
He wanted the world to know that my man's doing splits. That he said, like, my brother almost killed me. It just came out of nowhere.
No, because my brother almost killed me, and then he goes, break it down and princes it.
Just like a...
I've been in jail. My brother almost killed me. Here, splits.
James Brown. Woohoo!
His friends put a jacket over him, and he's like, I can't answer any more questions.
And then you almost tripped that little girl.
Sorry.
Now I feel bad. Any more tattoos? So you have three shamrocks.
What else do I got here?
And the meat.
Oh, the dolphin on my back.
You have a dolphin on your back.
What? Whoa, that just took a turn.
He just decided at one point that he was a fan of mammals living under the sea.
Oh, my goodness. That is a gentleman.
I just
want to know if the guys who he was in prison with convinced him that they actually were in prison because they robbed Fenway Park.
I'm going to say that is 1,000% true.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the movie came out while he was in jail, so I had no idea about it. And he was so blocked from the actual news. Like, there was a guy who's probably in there for, like, petty thefts. Like, yeah, me and a couple bros, we put on these masks. They looked like nuns. And then we went in there, and then John Hamm showed up, and we shot the guy from Mad Men.
Yeah, I think that would have been a big, pretty big news story.
Yeah, there was a shootout at Fenway?
Yeah.
And bodies everywhere? Yes, I would think that would be a massive news story.
I bet you it was the guys with the banner. You know the movie The Town?
Yeah, man.
I was the one who robbed Fenway. And then we had Sweet Banner.
And he had to run from three lanes to track. What did you have to do, Banner Guy, when you went out there?
I mean, my man had to run across three lanes of traffic.
Three lanes of traffic. All right. Let's not dilly-dally.
What is the Red Sox?
Okay.
Bruce Cassidy, a coach of your Boston Bruins, is set to join us in just a few minutes.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
It's fired, and Krejci's drive, stick to side, out in front, Marchand shoots, he scores! The Bruins throw a pass to the bottom of the right wing circle, and Marchand had time to look, picked his spot, and whipped it inside the far post, a power play goal. Bruins 1, Devils nothing.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We are Tutcher and Rich. And is that him? Okay. Bruce Cassidy, head coach of the red hot Boston Bruins. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Cassidy, hello. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, gentlemen, how are we?
We are doing well. So tonight you are playing the Carolina Hurricanes, and they are known for being silly gooses after games and doing stupid-ass things like playing ring around the rosy.
I actually have no problem with that.
You and I might disagree.
NHL team?
I just think it's what they're being little silly gooses.
It breaks through the monotony, I guess.
If you find the game monotonous, then please. All right, but Mr. Cassidy, what do you feel about the post-game celebrations from the Carolina Hurricanes?
I'm not a huge fan, but I get it. They're in a market where they're a little tougher to draw fans. So I it keeps them around. So I think most teams are long gone by then. They're in the dressing room, so they don't even see it. So not a big deal. I don't know if they'll do it in the playoffs. That'll be interesting, but we'll see if they get in.
If you saw one of your own players try to pull something like that off, would you have a word with them?
I would, I think our leaders would, to be honest with you, they'd recommend they don't. There's celebrations now in the game. That's where it's changed a lot. I think you used to score a goal, you'd go hug the teammate to pass you the puck or, something like that. Now you jump into the glass, you see that. I don't know if that started with the Washington Capitals there years ago or some guys take off a football wide receivers that started that. I don't know, but that's enough for me. I'm a little old school that way. I think you should go to your teammates first, personally.
That's right, and then beat the crap out of whoever's in the way. All right.
That's right.
So Pasternak's injured, and we'll get to the timeline maybe on him. But when you first heard about how he got injured and he was coming out of a restaurant with teammates and he fell, were you pissed off?
No. I mean, I found out the next morning, and it happened at night. So the first thing you're wondering, oh shit, what are these guys up to last night? And then we found out, it was just one of those things, an accident, and happens. And there's other teammates with him. I think it was a sponsor's dinner that he's involved with. So we were just hoping it wouldn't be long. At the end of the day, how serious was it? So it took a few days to sort through that. But it looks like he's gonna rejoin us here down the road. So that's good news.
Now, when obviously a guy like that goes down, your leading scorer, there's part of you that's just like, oh boy, here we go. We're going to have to try to make this work. Are even you shocked at the results that you've gotten since he has been away?
Yeah. I mean, we had trouble scoring before consistently. We'd have our nights, and other nights it was a struggle. But it came together at the right time. I think, our guys recognize that someone has to pick up the slack, particularly DeBrusque. He got hot at the right time. our defense started scoring, McAvoy in particular. Fourth line pitched in, so all of a sudden you're able to overcome it. So it speaks a lot about our guys. You know, they knew we had to find it elsewhere, and they have so far. He'll only help us when he gets back because everyone loves Pasta. It's not like they're going to be upset that he's going to get his minutes back. But at the end of the day, it's made us a better team right now, a stronger team, and hopefully going forward.
So when he comes back, which line do you intend putting him on? Back on next to Krejci and DeBrusk, or will he be back on the first line? Because I don't know when someone comes back from an injury whether there's like a certain like pairing that you like, or I don't know how that would work. But where do you imagine him being once he returns?
I think it depends a little on the timeline. If there's time before the end of the year, probably with Krejci, because we never got a real good look at that. And that would move Johansson down with Coyle, which we'd be interested in seeing. If it's right at the going into the playoffs, you know, if there's something that lingers there, it might have to be with Marsh and Bergie, because that's where he's had his most success. He's going to be a little behind. I don't care how much time he missed. You're going to be a little bit behind, so I think it'd be easier for him to catch up. He has more familiarity with them. So some of it will have to do with how many games we have left when he gets back in.
All right, so he's going to have to wear something on his hand, everyone's saying. Is that, in your experience, how difficult is that to adjust to?
I think there'll be an adjustment because he's a handsy guy. He trusts his hands a lot, strong on a stick, a lot of one-on-one hockey. So I assume, you know, there'll be gripping issues at first. Does that affect his one time or his shot? I don't know. He will have some time to work on it. So, listen, it's not going to help it, I can't believe, right? So if anything, it might hinder it a little bit. But guys get used to stuff after a while. So, I said, as long as he has a few games to get back into the swing of thing with all that, I think he'll be fine. So hopefully he gets good news from his next doctor's appointment and has a little time to sort it out.
Just one last thing on Pastrnak. You said that, you know, you understood he was coming out of a sponsored dinner. What was his reaction to the team and to you when it came out that he was going to be injured and out for a while?
Well, he talked to Donnie first, and I think he was, you know, what I was told, he was close to tears. I mean, he feels he let the team down to a certain extent because it wasn't an on-ice injury. But listen, the guys love – Pasta comes to the rink every day in a good mood. He's a hard worker. He's a team-first guy. So I don't think there's any resentment at all. He just felt bad he's letting the team down at a tough time going into the deadline. The team was – we're not on the roll we're on now, so, you know, we weren't scoring as much. You figured we'd lose that part of the game, but – you know, at the end of the day, we've been able to pick up the slack for him. So I think he feels a lot better now that we've, you know, been able to win some games without him and keep the ship kind of in control here.
We're talking to Bruce Cassidy, head coach, obviously, of the Bruins. Now, yesterday you talked about Tuukka Rask and the plans with Halak, and I find it interesting. I mean, you're estimating, obviously. You don't have to tell me that. But Halak, you said you'd split it 10-7, and I know Halak has played well. It surprised me, though, in saying that, how important is it to have home ice in the first round to you? And if things continue to be this close, would you play Rask maybe a little bit more?
It's very important, I think, to have home ice. It's not the be-all, end-all, but we saw last year, Game 7 is a big advantage. I think early in the series, teams can easily, you know, steal a game on the road and get one back. But it's Game 7, I think, where you really want it. And then we're comfortable with Jarl. I mean, his numbers are very similar to Tuukka's. He had a little bit of a hiccup there. I think it was January for a couple of weeks. Pucks were getting through him. He sorted that out. So I think we're comfortable with both. Would we adjust it and go with the hotter hand at the end if need be? Absolutely. But we've kind of had a plan all year, and it's worked out for Tuukka well and Jarl, obviously. So we want to kind of stick with it. So it'll be close to a 10-7 type of split. Would we veer off one way or another for the game? Or, you know, I wouldn't say 2 or 3, though. We're not going to run him right into the playoffs because I think his game is fine as it is now. And unless we have a conversation, that's what he wants. But right now I think he's comfortable with his workload. He's feeling good about his game, but also his, you know, his kind of fatigue or fitness level.
You know, Bruce, there's been a lot of talk about the makeup of this team and how they're a fun team to watch because as of late they've, you know, on both ends of the ice, they've been playing hard. And I think one of the prime examples was Noah Chari, who I believe you were asked about it, where, you know, his face essentially exploded when the puck hit him in the mouth. I mean, both lips were split. He had several teeth knocked out and jostled. And so you had just written him off for the next game, correct? And did he come to you at that point and say, no, I'm playing?
Yeah, we actually spoke to the medical staff and the dentist. Said, listen, he's probably going to be in the chair for 4 or 5 hours, so don't count on him tomorrow because there'll be some residual, obviously, pain, in his mouth, and he's going to have headaches. And so we thought, okay, maybe the next game we'll get him back in there. We knew he's a tough guy, but he got a break because some of the damage they thought he could fix, they couldn't. It was worse. So we're just going to write those teeth off. and then, we'll push a few around and all of a sudden stitch up the inside. And the next day he came in and I asked him, I said, you're still a little goofy from the pain meds. Said, nope, not at all. I took some in the afternoon, nothing at night. I want to get in there. So that was that. Been a good part of our team, a little bit underappreciated. His numbers don't jump off the page, but he's done a real good job playing against the other teams. Good players every night. He's physical. He sets the tone. Teammates love him. He's just that guy that you have to and be in the room to appreciate what he brings.
Is he still going to wear that big ass Spaceballs helmet?
That's what I was
going to
say. Do you think he's a pussy for wearing a full face mask?
No. We've had a few guys wear it. It seems to bring good luck to them, to tell you the truth. Corrali had it on and he was flying around and went to start at the Winter Classic. So maybe Wagner's next. He's the only one in the line that hasn't happened. He throws his face in front of a puck tonight. You'll know why, because he wants that thing.
Maybe in practice, everyone just kind of aims the wrong way a little bit.
Right. It's like you take it, so you only have to take it once, and then for the rest of it. I was just thinking about Cassidy there on the bench going, all right, you scored there at Charlie with your pussy-ass face mask on. So that's what I thought. All right, so the trade deadline has come and gone, and you you got the two pieces you got, and obviously everyone noticed or knew that you needed a third-line center. During that day, how tuned in were you with the conversation Sweeney was having?
He was upstairs. We were in the office downstairs. He'd come down every, let's say, 45 minutes, half an hour, kind of update us on what was going on. I think there was a few different deals in the works that, could have happened. Fairly typical, I think, when teams know you're looking. Maybe the ask was too much or another team had, whatever, a better offer. But at the end of the day, both of those conversations came up about both players we did acquire, how they'd fit in. And he went ahead and made it, and I'm happy he did. I think, everybody wants the big fish, right, the biggest fish, but I think there was a lot of teams in on that Stone, and then Vegas offered him that, the max deal, and off he went. He was probably the biggest guy out there. Could have helped any team in the league. But we got two good guys that fit in well for us, are fitting in well for us in areas of need. So I thought he did a great job and not, giving up too much down the road, what he thought would help us in the future, but dealing with stuff that helps us today, and we'll see how it works out.
Yeah, because if you look at what the possibilities were, you mentioned Stone, and then you talk about Nyquist, and he didn't want to come to the Bruins and all that. It seemed like, in terms of those bigger names, that Sweeney didn't have much wiggle room. But was there a point that day where you thought, oh, wow, there's a chance I might get this guy? And not saying you were disappointed or anything, but it didn't end up coming to fruition.
Not really. Those big names, I think, were, probably, I don't know, you have to talk to Donnie at the end of the day. He never came to me and said, oh, we're real close on this guy or that. He's pretty good that way. It's like, what do you think if, we go this route and it end up being Johansson at the end? Coyle was, I think, the day before, correct? A couple days before. That one was, I don't know if he's had discussions with Minnesota earlier because they were moving a lot of guys. It's usually a new GM. I have no idea, but that one happened a little bit earlier and an area of need, certainly. We tried different young guys. I thought they did okay at times, but not quite Charlie's pedigree and something we needed to fill, so happy he got it done.
As a player, Bruce, that's got to be a nightmare of a day, knowing that you could at any moment get traded. And with social media, it's got to be 10 times worse. Do you talk to your players or do you keep them busy that day in order to try to keep their heads focused and not on, the dread of what could happen with an impending trade?
Yeah, I don't talk to them. I think there's enough guys in the room that have been through it. The veteran guys will, talk to the few younger guys. I think in our situation, we were looking to add, and usually that means, prospects and picks, right? So you don't want to take off your own roster very often. It happens periodically, but so our guys are a little bit at ease there. I'd imagine it'd be more difficult if you were a team that was a little bit on the outs looking in, like the Rangers. I'm sure one of their veteran guys was probably wondering, where am I going? And but for us, I think it was, don't have to worry too much about it.
Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Talk to them. Hello?
Oh, sorry, we lost you for like maybe like 5 seconds there. Sorry about that.
Oh, sorry. That might be my phone. I'm in the office. I don't know. but anyway, we didn't go over too much. Had a good practice. Guys probably got together. We had our lunch here, and off they went, because I don't think there was any a big issue with us moving anybody off our roster. But like I said, only the players can answer that. At the end of the day, we try not to bring up any more than what's already out there.
Well, Bruce, unfortunate news yesterday. Kevin Miller, he was downgraded to week-to-week. What do you know about his status, and what was happening there?
Well, he had an upper body injury that we did. He played through it for a game, and then it got a little bit worse, so we thought he was fine. I think the original X-ray didn't show anything, and then an MRI did. So he's week-to-week now. We'll see him here at some point down the road, but we thought it'd be a day-to-day thing. We'd only miss a few games. It looks like it's going to extend, and it's been a tough year for Kevin that way. He's had a few injuries that, they got the puck in the throat there that we didn't think was much. All of a sudden finds out it's a little more than it is, and got to be very, cautious with that one. So been a tough year for him in that regard, but he'll hang in there. He'll be back, and we've got some depth in the blue line. We're lucky there. John Moore stepped right in and done a good job for us. Steven Kampfer's played well for us, so we're covered there, but we do miss him. He's a tough guy and a good team guy and a good hockey player.
And Jarrett, at his age, had interesting comments that he didn't want to rest on the way out into the playoffs, that's hurt him before. Are you going to abide by his wishes?
Well, he's 6'9 and 250 pounds, so probably.
Yeah.
I
was just going to ask you, when he fought Kane, is there a part of you, because I know they're not your kids, and he's probably around your age, but is there a point where someone picks a fight with Chara and he drops his gloves, where you get like a warm feeling of like, he's really going to kick the crap out of this guy?
Yeah, well, it happened in a hurry. And all of a sudden, he was down. It was like, you sort of take your eye off the play and go elsewhere, but all of a sudden he recovered, and good for him. I mean, you got to give the guy credit for trying to tangle with Z. I mean, that's, you got to have a lot of, gumption to do that, or courage, whatever word you want to use. But at the end of the day,
I found out how hard it was for you to gather a word other than balls.
Balls, yeah, I guess I was worried about earlier. I was like, they're going to be radio here.
That's right. So, we get two dumps. So you're allowed one more. We have two.
Oh, we're plenty past that last dump.
Yeah. Well, right. At the end of the day, it's good for Z. But we will listen. If he needs a rest, we'll give it to him. I think he just doesn't like to. He's a competitor. He wants to play every night. But if there's a back-to-back situation late in the year, he might do it with a few guys just to keep the other guys fresh and to give him a break. But at the end of the day, like I said, he wants out there. We try to manage his minutes, but he's used to it. He's a guy that's his fitness level is through the roof. So it's not going to – I don't think it's going to bother him a lot. It might be the wear and tear of travel if there's some of that involved, or early game time following a later one that – maybe he's not fully recovered, but other than that, he's played most of the games, or probably all of them, to be honest with you, unless we see the need.
All right, Bruce Cassidy, head coach of the Boston Bruins, on what could be a historic streak right now as they play the Carolina Hurricanes.
Does it piss you off as well as you've been playing that almost no ground can be made up to the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Well, I didn't think anybody's going to catch those guys. they're solid. It was nice to see us play well against them the other night. Circumstances were what they were, but it doesn't matter. You still want to put your best foot forward. You know, they beat us last year, just to let them know that we're a pretty good club too. But even Toronto's right on our heels. It's a good division. And, sometimes that brings the best out of you. It's just the way it is. I mean, people are saying, well, if they're in their other division, the other division's won the cup 3 years, Pittsburgh twice, Washington. They're pretty good too over there. So I think the East has just become a better conference lately, and that's the hand you're dealt. Got to play.
All right. Well, Bruce Cassidy, congratulations on everything, and here's to continued success. And I need 8 tickets for the last game of the season. I'll pay for them, but just keep that in mind. All right.
How about Thursday? My family comes. I got young kids in the.
I have young kids too, and I need these tickets because.
Oh, there you go. We're in the same boat. All right. We'll just see what we can do.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. We appreciate it.
See you, man.
All right.
Bruce Cassidy.
Bruce Cassidy forever.
Brilliant.
Man. I'm telling you, it's like it's a shame that we don't get to do more interviews with him, because every time he's on, he's excellent. I mean, he's honest. He's not afraid to
swear.
Not afraid to swear right off the bat.
Hits it out of the park, man. No fear.
I thought that was interesting about Pastrnak. That's a little more insight than I think has been out there yet as to what happened and how the team reacted. But I also, what he's thinking about doing with him once he gets back, like what line he's going to go on. It's not a definite on the second line, as we were talking. I mean, he said it all had to do with how he felt he was playing. And if there wasn't enough time together, he might pop him right back on that first line going into the playoffs, which would be interesting because, I mean...
You know what I think it is? Is I think it is a lot of it rides on if he is how he deals with that thing on his hand, whatever it's going
to
be.
I tried to ask Bob Beers about that yesterday because, you know, I don't know. You know, obviously, I haven't played enough hockey to know how much your thumb would affect your shot. And
I've never played a game of ice hockey.
Anything to do with your hands or wrists is deadly.
Even Bob Beers was saying that because he had never injured his thumb, he didn't even know how much it would affect his shot. But he did say that of the two hands to have it, Pasternak's got it on the one that would affect his shot the least.
All right.
So, I mean, for whatever that's worth.
Okay. Well, when we come back, we'll do something. But then later in the hour, it's time for Wog to flex his muscles a little bit.
Yeah, I think so, too. By the way, Jake DeBrusk will be on at 9:20.
Well, we'll see about that. But I hope he does. But we'll see. And I'm not saying we'll see about that because he's like a jerk or anything. It's just the way it goes. All right. So we'll be right back.
Talking Tats.
You earned the trip.
Sucks.
He's got a history of ripping apart farm systems.
The Celtics are bending over backwards.
Bees. Entirely the top line.
Front. This is your home for Boston sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, Tony Hawk Pro Skater, how this song plays.
Oh, yeah. Was this the intro when you turned it on?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's Goldfinger, but I'm not positive. All right. Earlier in the show, Rich, we met a man for our townie test.
Mm-hmm.
Honest to God. So I got the Godsmack symbol around my belly button. Mm-hmm. I wish I never got it.
He had a tattoo of Fenway Park on his stomach, Brady on his leg, a Godsmack tattoo around his belly button. Not one, not two, but...
I got a shamrock over here.
You got two shamrocks.
Yeah, three.
He had three shamrocks, as a matter of fact.
And I could do a split.
And he could do a split, we learned.
And he was also in prison with the fellas who robbed Fenway Park.
Guess who's on the phone right now?
It is Johnny Godsmack.
Johnny!
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing this morning, gentlemen? Love your show.
Thank you.
What's up, man? How's it going?
We enjoyed you very much. It was very funny.
Yeah, not too bad. Like I said, I was telling the gentleman this morning, I went out with my nephew and my stepson the other night. Obviously, I drink twice a year, as you can tell.
Oh, it didn't seem you were like that wasted.
No,
it just
was
you had funny answers. I mean, you've obviously lived a very interesting life.
Yeah, I have. I've had a lot of fun through my life. And that night, I'm a diehard Bruins fan. Always been. I went to Game 7 in Toronto. Took my fiance to Game 7, her first NHL game ever.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So now I just have one question for you. By the way, I thought you were awesome, and I thought it was very funny. However, you do know that the movie The Town didn't really happen, correct?
Yes, my favorite movie. You know, this may be ironic. Shawshank Redemption.
Okay. How long? I won't say for what for. How long were you in jail for? How long were you in jail?
Seven and a half years.
Oh wow!
Ooh, whoa. Okay.
All right.
I have a feeling the questioning should end now.
I made a lot of mistakes, you know, 17, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. Went away, Billerica for a while, Concord, Middleton Jail. In my young years, you know, today I'm a lot more responsible. I've been out since 99. I'm doing well.
How is a prison tattoo made? Like, what do they use to do a prison tattoo?
They use chess pieces. They burn them down. You make like a teepee out of any kind of paper. Then you take a chess piece, light it on fire, and then the ashes burn on the inside of the paper. Then you scrape that off, and then you mix it with toothpaste, and then you use a fan motor and a staple, like out of a magazine. You sharpen it, and then you put it on the fan motor, and that's how you make the tattoos.
Whoa, how painful is it to get one of those tattoos?
Very.
And you have now the Fenway one, does that take up your entire stomach?
Yes, that was I call that the etch a sketch.
Okay, right. And you got that one done in prison?
No, that one was done outside by a friend. Same kind of method, but he was a horrible tattoo artist, and I made a horrible mistake.
Okay, so you got a prison-esque tattoo outside of prison, one that wasn't in a tattoo parlor?
Yeah, you saved yourself a lot of money.
Yeah, bottom line is, you know, I was young, made mistakes. The one on my leg that I showed him, Brady, that's actually my last name. My last name is Brady.
Okay. But you also did it because you like Tom Brady, right?
Oh, yeah, I love the guy. You know, I think he's great for the city, great for sports. The guy's just a role model, you know?
Okay, so when you get a prison tattoo, how much does it bleed? And, like, how many times can you get, like, injury, like actually skin torn when you do it?
Yeah, you got to make sure it's clean. That's why they use the toothpaste, because it has the alcohol in it. So you want to make sure that, you know, you put a lot of toothpaste in with the mixture with the alcohol so you don't get any kind of, you know, rashes or bruising or infections on there.
Have you ever used Indian ink?
I have seen people, though, get them, you know, and it didn't turn out too well for them.
Yeah, I have a friend who got Metallica, which, of course, was misspelled, where a guy took a like a knitting needle and dipped it all in Indian ink with a string at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then so he would pierce the skin, then move the string all the way through and then go through that.
John, what was the worst thing you saw a prison fight over while you were in there?
They were making some homebrew one night, and they hid it in the ceiling tiles and all that. And a new guy came in. Didn't know it was up there. It exploded in the Salems, and the following night, he got hit with batteries and socks, and he was pretty badly beaten.
So he didn't know it was up there. Like, what did he turn like on a light or something that exploded, or what did he do to make it explode?
No, it just exploded in the ceiling, and he went to the cop station and asked them. He said, "Hey, something's leaking all over me in my bed." Of course, the cops, you know, the COs they call them, went up in the ceiling, took the homebrew down from the ceiling. And, you know, they had been making that for a couple months, you know, saving it for New Year's night. And they weren't too happy that the guy, you know, gave it up.
Yeah, but okay. So he was supposed to keep his mouth shut, even though he had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, but you're just not, in general, you were not to talk to COs about anything that happened, correct?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I know the rules, baby.
You know those rules?
Yeah, I know all the rules. I go to jail, I'm the top dog.
What's the homebrew made out of?
Oh, they use everything. Apple orange slices out of the kitchen, you know, you lug it back to your room, which you're not supposed to do, but, you know, everybody turns a blind eye once in a while, you know?
Okay, so apple orange slices, then how do they turn that into actual liquor?
It ferments.
Yeah, it ferments. You put it in a container, they add, you know, juice to it, apple juice. I mean, you can use all kinds of stuff in there from the kitchen to make it. It actually comes out pretty good.
Do you feel like you could go to MIT after a little time in prison just from the gadgets and things you guys put together?
Probably not.
Do you think that if...
labor in the union, you know, I work hard for my money, so...
There you go. Do you think that if Rich went to jail because he was on this show, that would it be a negative or a positive?
He'd be a positive, you know. It's all what you make it, you know. I did a lot of exercise and a lot of reading and kept to myself and mind my own business. If you do that, you'll be fine.
What's the number one way, other than, of course, committing like a heinous crime that everyone knows about, but what's the number one faux pas that'll get your ass kicked in prison?
Talking.
Anything to do with children.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, other than crimes. Like when you show up, you do something like you...
Talk to a CO. That's number one, number two, number three.
Well, I mean, I'd like to hear what he has to say. I mean,
you don't talk to cops. You don't talk to COs. You don't let them know anything that's going on. You stay within your own circle.
See, I'm answering questions for him because, again, I know everything about jail. All right. Well, listen, Johnny, and you never saw any of that. Was there the prison sex? I have to ask you the question. Not with you, but...
No. Listen, you're only gay if you want to be.
Okay, very good. All right, well, listen, Johnny, not only did you give us the comedy of a couple nights ago, you also gave us some interesting information about jail. You've been on the show for an hour today, so we do appreciate that.
Hey, you know what? Thank you very much, guys. Like I said, I'm a diehard Bruins fan. I've always been my whole life. Started watching them, you know, Steve Casper days. You know, these guys are great, and I think they can go far this year, and I hope they keep it up. Their defense is great. You guys have a good morning.
All right, you too.
All right, see you, man.
Thank you so
Steve
much.
Casper days. Paid his dues.
Am I going to get any credit for my knowledge of the prison systems?
Well, I would like to hear what he had to say instead of you putting words into his mouth, but he said something completely different.
When?
I was asking, what's the one faux pas you could do?
Here we go.
Because that's a John Wall. Like, you can't jump in and put words into the guy's mouth.
I do it because I know the answer.
Yeah, but I was asking him. He might have a different answer.
Well, then why wouldn't he say it?
Because I'd rather have the prisoner who has actually been there answer the question than someone who hasn't.
No, I jumped in because I know the answer.
Wait a minute. What are you trying to say?
Well, I'm saying that's something you do all the time. That whenever I'll ask somebody a question, you'll jump in and put words in their mouth.
I didn't put words in his mouth.
That
I didn't put words in his mouth. Everything I said
did
was...
Fred put words in his mouth? Dan O'Brien in the other room.
I'm on Team Fred on
when
this
I one. Asked what's one of the biggest faux pas you could do, and Fred said talking to a CEO, and he went, yeah, talking to a CEO.
I don't like that, you. I'm on Team Fred.
Not that it was an obvious answer. Fred knew the answer, but the guy just agreed with him. I'm on Team Fred on that one, too. Sorry, yeah. Rich.
Bite it.
Yeah.
I keep interrupting, John. That's good.
I was bonding with him.
Okay, now that I understand.
Yeah.
That I could see.
I mean, believe me.
Building a friendship, you know, in a little thing of trust. I see that.
Yeah. I was telling him, you know. And then you asked him what happened, how did they make the thing, and I let him answer that all, and then you go, how's it done? I go, well, it ferments.
So how long do you, I mean, honestly, like when you put just peels and apples in water, is that what it is?
In juice.
Okay. How long would that take until it would actually be alcohol?
That I don't know. But haven't you ever had anyone and you lived in the South. I know a guy who had money that did this.
Well, I know people who had like made their own moonshine, but I never drank it. I would never drink somebody's homemade beer or liquor.
I've had moonshine. I got it for my wedding.
Oh my God. Did you get sick?
I mean, I didn't like chug it.
Do you know the line that you toe from it being something that's drinkable and something that will make you ridiculously sick?
It was the guys from Left Front Tire. I trusted them implicitly. Like, okay. They had told me like a million. They drank it all the time.
Okay.
But I had a friend whose dad kept made his own homemade cider, like alcoholic cider. And he kept it in barrels and it just like stunk.
Oh, yeah.
It stunk so bad. No, I'm horrified by the idea of going to jail.
Because that's called toilet wine, right?
I don't know.
Isn't that, because I've heard that nickname before, is that it's called like toilet wine. And what they end up doing is they use a lot of the toilet water to help it mix. And I know that there's juice too, but I mean, why would you mix the water and the juice to get more of a, like,
well, why
product.
Would you use toilet water if you have a sink in your room?
Because I don't know. I've just heard the term toilet.
Okay, I would imagine that there's no toilet water in it. That seems like an unnecessary step. I think in prison you have plenty of access to water.
I might be wrong, but I think that that's a term I've heard before.
I don't deny that. But I do take great offense of you saying that I was interrupting that interview.
No, it wasn't interrupting. It was putting words in his mouth.
Just because I know the answer to the test, baby, don't get me mad when I'm right. Don't get mad when I'm right. I forgot that we had taken a break already. So we've taken our two breaks.
No, we got one more break. Yeah, we got one more to go.
Yeah, one more to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then we're on DeBrusque time. We've got...
Well, Johnny, I'm going to save the stuff from Dylan McKay for tomorrow.
Okay.
Because I didn't know that a man was going to call and he had all the info.
There is at 9 o'clock, by the way, what's the word? You are forbidden to review a certain... An embargo. There's an embargo until 9 o'clock this morning all across the country. It's 6 a.m. Pacific time for any reviews of Captain Marvel. And guess what? We got the first review on the East Coast coming up, and it's from a man named Bird.
So we should time things out that it exactly done.
Exactly. We'll be the first one on the East Coast to review Captain Marvel.
Do you
Marvel.
Think that they would really care because it was Bird?
Well, I will say this. It's a spoiler-free review, and that wasn't on purpose. Not a lot of sense being made.
All right, Carl, you have 2 minutes. All right, what is the truth about prison wine?
They cook it in a bag or make it in a bag, and then they put it in the toilet and they piss on it because the warmth actually helps it ferment faster.
All right. That's disgusting.
That did not happen. Man. I don't think that happens. And also, you can't say that word.
It's called toilet wine because they would hide the bag in the tank of the toilet to hide it. Okay.
Okay.
But wouldn't you think that'd be the first place you look if you're a CO? Like, if you're going and you're checking out, I mean, that would be probably the number one place to look. Under the mattress, in the toilet tank.
I don't know why you would even care that they're making it, to be honest with you. I mean, there's, like, a huge drug trade in prison. I would, if some guy made, you know, like, a pail of cheap, you know, juice, I'm not positive of that. But listen, I wouldn't be a CEO for all the money in the world. I don't need that.
No, that doesn't seem like a fun.
Especially
life.
In these like for-profit prisons where they're trying to cut costs anywhere they can, and it's like two guys versus like 300 inmates. That do yourself a favor. Read about the privatization of prisons. It's a real hot dog. They're arresting more people. They're putting more people in jail. And the conditions in the jail for everyone, even the people that work there, are just atrocious. Because I read those books because it's my nightmare. It's like how you guys will watch like a horror movie. Me, if I read a book about someone in prison.
So I won't watch Oz.
Oz is impossible to watch.
I've made it. And by the way, the writing on Oz is amazing, and I appreciate what it is. But I made it three episodes in.
No, it's impossible.
And I'm like, I can't do this.
As soon as the guy with the sideways hat, the Beecher, whatever his name is, moved out of there and got in with that Nazi, who I cannot watch in anything now, including the drum movie.
Whiplash? Oh, Whiplash is the best.
It's a great movie, but half the time I'm thinking, like, he's going to have sex against this guy's will. Like, no matter what he did in that movie that was mean,
right?
It was like nothing.
It could get meaner.
Right. Very quickly. All right. So we'll be back, and we'll have Bird's movie review.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.